on 774 ABC Melbourne. You're listening to Raphael Epstein. Call now on 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774. You're with Raph.
Oh, we're going to have fun this afternoon. Josh Nelson is here to present us with some films. Hi there, Josh.
How you doing?
You can check out his blog, filmology.com with a PH. There's a film called War, which it stars a great child actor. So I'd love to hear your suggestions. 1300 222 774. You get bonus points for including politics in your suggestions. We've got a beautiful compile to play for you of some of our great kid moments. But let's talk about the film that sparked our discussion first. Josh, tell me a bit about War, which...
Well, Warwich was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film at the Academy Awards. It lost out to Michael Haneke's Amour,
which he loved, yes.
But this is a worthy competitor. So it's a Canadian entrance. The French title is Rebelle, but it's set in the it was filmed in the Republic of the Congo, but it's set in a non-specific sort of geopolitical area. And it's a tragic coming-of-age story set against the backdrop of a civil war between rebel soldiers and government soldiers. And the film opens with a fairly graphic or fairly horrific scenario in which the rebel soldiers turn up to a village, start killing indiscriminately and kidnapping children.
Another non-date movie review.
Yeah, this is not one. Well, I'm not sure if the next one's going to be a date from either, but look, this is a worthy film. So they kidnap this 12-year-old girl, Kimona, played by Rachel Mwanda in a really stunning performance. And kneel her parents down in front of her and say, shoot them with an AK-47 attack them with something far nastier. And this sort of sets in motion this film, which is really about child soldiering, where she's sort of initiated into the rebel gang. Her parents have obviously been killed off. And we see this process go over 2 years from her sort of as a 12-year-old through to 14. And one of the interesting things and why the film's called Warwich is because after one of the initiation ceremonies, she's forced to drink this tree sap, this sort of magic milk she refers to it as, which gives her this hallucinogenic ability to be able to see ghosts. So the ghost of the dead, which alerts her to the presence of government soldiers. Okay. So the tribal leader kind of, you know, she sort of wins credence from him.
I suppose that's an allusion to the fact that often these child soldiers are given drugs to get them to fight. So I guess it's a play around that.
Well, it's interesting the way in which they film the ghost scenarios, because it doesn't really indulge the supernatural, because the ghosts that she sees are actually other Africans covered in a white body paint with sort of milky white contact. Right. So they have a physical presence as well. Mm-hmm. So I think given that so much of this film is and the violence and the horrendous stuff that goes on in this film is entrenched in a, you know, or refers to a historical atrocity, I don't think they wanted to play too much stylistically with the supernatural. But there's a lot to admire about this film, even beyond the central performance, which is quite stunning, because the film is structured through a voiceover. And this is a really clever device, because we hear Kimona at the start of the film talking to her as yet unborn child. And we don't know where this child's come from or how this child's come about, but she's making comments like, you know, I'm not sure how you'll feel about me, but I feel I have to tell you what I'm going through and why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I feel like this war is poisoning you and may have poisoned you already. And this idea of structuring the voiceover through this sort of memoir to an unborn child is important for a number of reasons. One, it gives us an incredibly sort of personal connection to her character, but it also plays on that subtext of generation and parents. I mean, the film opens with the death of parents. We know Kimona's about to become a parent at some point in the future. And that ties back in with the violence. And I think this is what this film is really about, is the severance of parental authority and the substitution of violence, because one of the initiation rites that we get in this film is when they've completed their training, all the children are given their AK-47 and they're told, this is your mother, this is your father. These are the only parents you'll ever have.
That sounds daunting.
So, you know, it is quite horrendous, but I don't want to give the impression this is 90 minutes of harrowing drama. There's an incredible amount of dignity in terms of the way in which this violence is framed. In fact, much of the violence goes unseen or is referred to or, you know, happens in ellipses.
But powerful film.
Yeah, look, really powerful film and clever too. Like the description of the violence, the way in which it moves over the violence, gives us this sense of the traumatic absence of violence, which is so much more powerful. And I think the fact that it's not set in a specific, you know, geopolitical area draws attention to this as a wider issue beyond the kind of the specifics of the narrative itself.
I'd love to hear your child nominations for great kid performances. 1300 222 774. Josh Nelson is with us, our film critic. The movie he's talking about is War, which Where's it on, actually, Josh?
Yeah, limited release, sadly. Two places in Melbourne, Cinema Nova in Carlton and the Classic in Elstonwick.
Okay. And I didn't ask you, the original language French, yes?
Yeah, so it is sort of that French-African, which, again, has the sort of the spectre of the colonial past hovering over it.
Okay, so great performances by kids in film. We've got a little compile of some of these being mentioned already on the text. You can text us 0437 774 774. Stephen in Parkdale's got one. Hey, Stephen.
Yeah, hi, Raph. River Phoenix in Stand By Me.
Ah, yes, absolutely.
And another one, if I might drop it in.
Yes.
Is I think it was called Being Obama or Obama, but the young Afghan girl pretending to be a boy.
What's that one called?
Osama.
Osama. Is it Being Osama? Is that
Being
one,
Osama, that's it.
Being Osama. Beautiful, Stephen. I like both of those. Tell you what, I'll get to a few of your texts. Oh, yes, indeed. Anna Paquin in the piano, absolutely. This is from Maria, and also the young girl in Beasts of the Southern Wild. And let's see if Ray in Glenroy has got a nomination for a great performance by a kid in a film. Yes, Ray?
Yeah, Freddie Bartholomew in Captain's Courageous with Spencer Tracy. Magnificent performance.
Okay, what year is that film?
A long time ago, probably in the 40s.
Yeah,
you
okay.
Need to see it.
Okay, I haven't seen it. So it's Captain's Courageous. I haven't seen that one.
Superb film.
Okay, look, thank you, Ray. Great suggestion. A few more on the text message. Jodie Foster, of course, in The Taxi Driver. The young girl from Pan's Labyrinth. I didn't see Pan's Labyrinth. Did
yeah, excellent. Yeah, great performance.
And Greg in Ballarat is back on the text. Kelly Reno in The Black Stallion, one of my favourite ever movies, and he did such a great job in it. Greg, I'm just impressed that you remember anyone except other than the horse. But there you go. And Kat is suggesting Shirley Temple in Heidi Wynn's Hands Down. Oh, of course, someone else texting in Billy Elliot. I tell you what, we are going to get a review of Great Expectations. Yes, they've made another movie of it. Before we do, let's have a little listen to a whole lot of kids in a whole lot of films. See if you can pick them.
We can't leave the piano.
Oh, man, where do you hear this? Where do you hear this?
What is it, man?
You guys want to go see a dead body?
When the McAllister family left on their Christmas vacation.
Kevin!
Ah! Home alone.
I want to tell you my secret now. I see dead people.
Can I ask you, Billy, what does it feel like when you're dancing?
Sort of disappear. I can feel a change in my whole body.
Oh. Phone? He said phone? He said phone?
Can't you understand English? He said phone.
One day, the storm's gonna blow, the ground's gonna sink, and the water's gonna rise up.
Gilbert?
So Gilbert?
Shut up!
Dad's dead.
Arnie.
Dad's dead.
Arnie, shh.
Okay, look, I'll put you out of your misery. I'll mention the films in reverse order. So that's What's Eating Gilbert Grape, before that Beast of the Southern Wild, then going backwards, E.T., Billy Elliot, Empire of the Sun, The Sixth Sense, Home Alone, Stand By Me, and The Piano. I'd love to hear any more nominations you have for great child performances in films that you love. The Little Boy in Shane, Sarah has texted in, and also Natalie Portman in The Professional definitely counts as a kid. 1300 222 774. We'll get on to Great Expectations in a moment, but I'm intrigued, Josh. Warwitch, what else do I need to know? How else can you encourage me to get along to it?
Well, I want to stress that this is not a harrowing experience in terms of the violence on screen. I read one review of this that said he likened it to an exploitation film, and I think that's really disingenuous because exploitation films are defined by their excessive violence and, you know, the fact that they are actually exploiting something. And this is something this film definitely doesn't do. And, you know, apart from those gaps in the film where we skip over the bloodshed in numerous times, I think that makes the film more powerful in terms of the treatment of violence. Mm. But we get the violence from the perspective of the children. And the middle section of this film is actually quite touching because the young girl starts this sort of friendship romance with another one of the child soldiers. And we get this glimpse just on a hilltop in this sort of respite from war of these two young boys playing out a kind of a martial arts kung fu style, almost like they're play fighting, you know, the Bruce Lee sort of style. And then the scene that directly follows that, all these child soldiers are on a bus watching a Jean-Claude Van Damme action film.
Right.
And you get this strange contrast between the real world violence of their lives and this almost ridiculous comic book style violence of Hollywood, and the way in which it's not simplistic in that treatment, because you get this almost ambivalence of the kids seeing this violence but also aware of their own violence. And I think that really taps into the way
that they're aware of the distinction.
Yeah, and also the way in which these kids are, on one hand, are play fighting, like these 12-year-olds with guns, but also they can never escape the trauma that they've been brought into this situation by. So look, this is a dignified, intelligent film, and I think it really deserves to be seen.
Okay, so it is called War Witch, on at just a few cinemas, unfortunately. Let's get to some of your calls, then we'll get on to Great Expectations. Mark's called from Ballarat. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how are you? How's things?
Good. What's your nomination?
The 1964, a black and white movie called From Apennine to the Andes. A young German singer, he was about 11 years old, Hentier, when he's in a boat and looks at the stars, he's looking for his mother, and he sings the song Mama, the one that Jamie Redfern sang.
What was the name of the film again, Mark?
From Apennine to the Andes.
From Apennine to the Andes. I don't
know. Because it goes from Italy for the Apennine Mountains.
Right.
It goes all the way to the Andes in Chile.
Okay.
In Chile, to looking for his mother.
I have never heard of it. I'll have to search it out.
I'll tell you what, you have to be made out of rock. not to shed a tear.
Okay, fantastic, Mark. Many of you texting in. To Kill a Mockingbird, Scout, yes. Dakota Fanning in Man on Fire. Elizabeth Taylor in National Velvet. Someone texting in, actually, War Witch, highly recommended to any and all. And the children in Au Revoir, Les Enfants. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, that's certainly not a date movie either, that one. That's just absolutely grueling. And Damon in Box Hill has a nomination as well. Yes, Damon.
Yeah, Lucas Haas in The Witness.
Oh, that's the kid in The Witness with Harrison Ford.
That's the one.
Right.
Can't remember the name of the kid, but the original Lord of the Flies. In fact, the whole cast you've probably
of course.
In.
Yeah, I haven't seen that for about 20 years, though. I wonder if it's still as good.
Yeah, great film.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Damon. Great nomination. Someone's saying Peter in Neverland, so that would be perhaps the one with Johnny Depp. I'm not sure. Tell me about Great Expectations, another attempt to film it. What's it like?
It's not so crash hot, I'm afraid.
Right.
So Great Expectations, major disappointment. It's a cliche, but so is this film. Look, it's so disappointing because, after the BBC did a really excellent miniseries of this only a couple of years ago, in which Gillian Anderson played Miss Havisham. It had Ray Winston as Magwitch, and it was sublime. I thought it was one of the best adaptations, particularly non-film, sort of a filmic sort of style. This one, which was directed by Mike Newell, who's the director responsible for Four Weddings and a Funeral, and I just don't think he's up to the task. The film feels like a Cliff Notes version of the film done as an amateur pantomime.
Oh,
I think
right.
That's about as nice as I can be. With a cast that should have been able to perform this at a higher level. I mean, we have Helena Bonham Carter's playing Havisham, Jason Fleming is Joe Gargery, Ray Fiennes is Magwitch, Robbie Coltrane is Jaggers.
All
so
right.
It's I don't think it's a fault of the actors. I think it's the fault with what goes wrong with this film lies with the writing and the direction, because so much of this is either played out in sort of a two-dimensional sensibility. Bonham Carter's Havisham is just mad from the start, and we never see anything beneath these characters. The same with...
She's a bit two-dimensional in Les Mis as well. But
yeah, look, maybe it is beyond her. Maybe it's just from the comparison to the Gillian Anderson one. But, I think there's so much more to these characters that's in the text. And I know, it's difficult with adaptation because everyone wants to, their own artistic spin on it. But I can't quite see the rationale behind some of the decisions that Newell's made with this film, because we don't see the alternate sides. There's no sense of duality or moral complexity with these characters, which I think is
what Great Expectations is all about.
Absolutely. And even the tragic irony and the way in which the decisions that characters make, which comes back at them later, which is what drives so much of this narrative and gives it such a rich kind of complexity, we just don't see the tragic consequences. So the decisions don't seem to make any sense. And, I don't think you can get any worse than the main romance here. The obsession of Pip to the Estella character is bland. And again, Pip's just a kind of vacant cipher, and Estella, we never see her as anything but a two-dimensional. So, this was at 2 hours, this was over 2 hours, this was a real stretch. And given that the miniseries was you know, 150 minutes, I think three 50-minute episodes. When there's only 20 minutes difference, there's, I don't know, there's really no excuse for, there's for no, what no, comes
nothing
out
really
of
redeeming in this one for you, is there?
It was a real struggle to sit through, particularly, right. You know, as a fan of the text. But I just couldn't understand the decisions, and it felt like a director out of their depth.
That's wow, okay. Look, that is Great Expectations. That'll be on wide release, I imagine.
I think it's falling fast.
Oh, is it really? Oh, okay. Look, a few more. Yes, River Phoenix in one of the third Raiders movies. Yes, he did have a little role at the beginning of that one, didn't he? City of God, yes, indeed. There's some great child acting in that. These are all text nominations for great kid acting. And Cody Smith McPhee in Romulus, My Father and The Road. That's a great nomination. That is from Andrew. The Daughter and Little Miss Sunshine, also from Gail in North Geelong. I like that. Now, Karen in Glen Iris has... we're returning to our kids, great kids in films, after we've trashed Great Expectations. Josh didn't like it, but that's okay. We like to know what not to see as much as what to see. But I tell you what, you judge it for yourself. Let's play a little bit of the trailer. This is Great Expectations on At Cinemas Now.
Hold your noise! Hold your noise! Oh, devil, I'll cut your throat. Tell us your name, quick. Once more, give it mouth.
Do you wish to see Miss Havisham?
Let me look at you. Come closer.
What do you think of her?
I think she's very pretty.
You can break his heart.
It is the desire of the benefactor that he be brought up as a gentleman in London.
There you go. Josh is shaking his head in disgust, and Penny agrees with him. She's texted in a very good review of Great Expectations. It was rubbish. Thanks, Josh.
Pleasure as always.
Great Expectations was the latter film he spoke about. He didn't like it, but it's on everywhere. The film that's a bit hard to see is called War Witch, but well worth watching, according to Josh Nelson. You can catch his blog at filmology.com. That's with a PH, filmology.com.